Welcome to the Get to the Point podcast, a podcast for busy women who want to have real conversations about fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle, but without rambling or wasting time. Let's get to the point. Hey, welcome to episode 13 of the Get to the Point podcast. That's kind of an exciting number to say, right? 13. Woo. I remember when we were back on like episode 1 and 2, and I didn't think I would make it this far. So my name is Leslie, and I'm the host of the Get to the Point podcast. And staying true to our name, we're going to get right to the point and cover a topic that a lot of women struggle with. I used to struggle with it. You might be dealing with it right now. It's this struggle that I call situational eating. So first I'm going to describe what that is, and then I'll talk about what is generally causing that, like what the underlying issue is there. And then two things that you might want to start working towards to make sure that situational eating is not something that is a recurring problem that's keeping you from meeting your goals for fat loss, for building muscle, for, you know, just building healthier habits, et cetera. So first of all, what I mean by situational eating, this is eating because of your environment, eating because of the situation that you're in. So this would be those moments where you go into the office and someone brings a box of donuts to the morning meeting. Or it is the one day a month where everybody in the office celebrates their birthdays for the month and your office orders a giant cake from the grocery store down the street. It could also be, your kids are climbing the walls like, mom, we really want whatever food. And so you take them to get that food and you end up eating it just because they are. It could also be family gatherings. It could be restaurants. Like you go in with really good intentions of staying to your plan and eating what you know you should eat. But everybody else is, you know, they're going ham in the chips and queso. They're drinking pitchers of margaritas. And because everyone else is doing it and it's happening around you, and that's just the situation that you're in, you just go for it, okay? So right away, I'm guessing one or more of those scenarios is probably ringing very true for you. And you're like, yeah, situational eating is a huge problem. It really is for so many women. But I have good news for you because it doesn't have to be that way. And I've been training women how to break this habit of situational eating ever since I started my online program, Fat Loss Lifestyle School, in 2013. So this is something that I have successfully coached a lot of women through and gotten them to the point where they now send me messages like, yeah, I just walked past the office candy jar that everybody is gathered around every afternoon. They're just standing there like mindlessly eating mini candy bars. I have no desire. I don't even have to use willpower. Like I don't even want to go over there. Or, there was a really crusty, cheap sheet cake in my office this afternoon because it was the July birthday celebration and I didn't even want it. So in these situations, you're usually going to get a lot of comments or, people are going to say things like, oh, wow, you're being so good. Oh, you have so much willpower. I wish I had as much willpower as you. But what these people fail to understand, because they themselves are still stuck in situational eating, is that it is not willpower at all. The reason that I don't deal with situational eating, that I choose what I eat every day, and I pretty much stick to that. I don't let my environment determine what I eat. And the reason my clients are able to do this is because our overall nutrition is dialed in. We have our hormones balanced because of the amount and type of food that we are eating. So we need very little willpower during the day to continue to, I guess you could say stay on our plans. I don't really see it as a plan because that sounds very rigid to me. And I don't like the word plan or program because it sounds like something you're doing temporarily, something that was kind of put on you by someone else. And that's not at all what we do in Fat Loss Lifestyle School or how I work with my clients. So it's all about you creating a way of eating that works for you, that balances your hormones for fat loss. And everybody's a little bit different, but for the most part, that is going to be a diet that is high in protein, fiber, and water. And once you start eating this way, you too are going to find you have like this superhuman willpower to cruise right past the office candy jar, to turn down the piece of stale, cheap birthday cake, to order what you planned to order, when you go out to dinner with your family and your girlfriends, you're not going to be in this position of just feeling yanked around every day by whatever situation you happen to walk into, okay? So if you are constantly susceptible and you feel like you have this weakness around food, like you're just, you have no power, you have no control, you are just kind of whatever way the wind blows, whatever everyone else is doing, you know, if it's National Donut Day, oh, guess I'm eating a donut today because everyone else is. If that is you, then that's a pretty big red flag that your overall diet is not working for you. And that could mean a number of things. It could mean, for example, that your nutrition, the way that you're eating, is too restrictive. Maybe you're doing something like the keto diet, which I'm not bashing the keto diet. It does work for some people, but maybe it doesn't work for you. And you find it to be extremely restrictive and very hard to stay on because you're not eating any carbs or you're eating, you know, 20 grams or less per day. Okay. So you are very kind of susceptible to these situations where there are carbs and sugar and sweets because you're not allowed to have those, okay? So that would be a sign that that diet is not working for you. And some people can be on a very low-carb diet and they are fine. They are great. They don't have sugar cravings. They don't, you know, go crazy on the office birthday cake. And that is good. That means they're eating in a way that works for them. But the key thing to keep in mind here is that if you are eating in a way that is too restrictive and you're not giving your body enough of what it needs and you have all these crazy rules around food and you've cut out food groups and, you know, oh, that's bad, I'm not allowed to have that, that does a real number on your physiology, on your hormones, and also your mindset. So you're really just like opening yourself up to being very vulnerable to situational eating if that's your approach to your nutrition is just, you know, how many food groups can I cut out? You know, I'm only going to eat these few perfect foods and those are all off limits. That mindset is a pretty big trigger for when you do get in situations where everybody else is doing something you're not allowed to do, you're jumping in the pool with them. A second thing that could be going on if you are very susceptible to this situational eating is you're just not eating enough calories. And this is especially true with the women that I work with. I don't want to say never, but almost never have women come to me who are not seeing results because they are eating too much. And that might blow your mind. You might think like, well, if they're gaining weight and they can't lose weight, obviously that's because they're just eating way too much. It's actually not. Being in a big caloric surplus, yeah, that's for sure going to cause weight gain. You're not going to lose fat like that. But if you swing to the opposite end of the spectrum where you are in a huge deficit, especially if you're training on top of that, that is like a crisis scenario for the female body. And you're going to have a very hard time losing fat and getting lean and building muscle if you're just in a huge caloric deficit, like hundreds and hundreds and thousands sometimes, I'm not kidding, thousands of calories from just working out way too much and way under eating. So that is also a reason why you could be so vulnerable to these situations where you find yourself, you know, in very close quarters with some food that, you know, you don't even want. Maybe you don't even like it, but because you are so underfed and so stressed by your lack of calories and your overtraining, you're just a huge target, basically. Like, you know, there's nothing you can do in this situation because your body, your physiology is always going to be stronger than you are, right? The human body is wired to survive, especially if you're a woman. So if you are not feeding yourself enough, you are training for hours a day, and you get in a scenario where there's lots of food available, guess what? Humans are hardwired to seek and overeat highly palatable food. Because if you go back hundreds of thousands of years when food was not nearly as abundant and readily available and affordable and easy to get to like it is today, think about this. Like, we might have had to overeat when we did have access to food because we didn't really know when the next meal was coming. We were in this very brief period of abundance and we need to just stock up now, like literally, let's stock up our bodies and store fuel away for later. All right. That is something that human bodies are really good at doing. That's why losing weight is so hard. Because, you know, if you think about the way that we're wired and how we've survived for so many years, that's part of it, is we are hardwired to seek and overeat highly palatable, very high calorie foods, because that's going to keep us alive if we don't know when the next meal is coming, or there's going to be a big gap between the current meal and the next meal. All right. In the year 2019, obviously that's not an issue. We have the opposite problem, where there's too much food, it's too accessible, it's too cheap, and it's too crazy in terms of how it is flavored and processed and manufactured, because you know, they've now created these formulas and figured out down to, you know, the tiniest molecule exactly how much sugar, salt, and fat they need to put in a potato chip to ensure that we clean out the whole bag. Like, we don't just eat one, we eat the whole bag. They design it that way. All right. Food manufacturers are not stupid. Restaurants are not stupid. They make a profit and stay in business based on creating foods that are incredibly delicious, incredibly hard to stop eating, and incredibly habit forming. So just think about that the next time you open a bag of chips and you think, like, why can't I eat just one? Because the person that made those chips is taking advantage of the way that your body is wired. All right. So you probably would be better off to just not buy the chips. Sorry about that. If chips are your favorite thing, but you know, you're not doing yourself any favors there. A third reason why you are incredibly susceptible to situational eating is because the way that you're eating is not balancing your hormones. And these first two scenarios I talked about, where, you know, you're just being too restrictive, maybe you're not eating carbs. And then the second scenario, where maybe you're just way under eating, you're not eating enough calories for your activity level and your body size and your body's needs. Those are also creating hormone imbalance, but you could also be eating enough calories. You could be eating a very quote unquote healthy diet and still have very imbalanced hormones. And the hormones I'm talking about here, I'm not talking about your sex hormones, the hormones that, you know, go haywire when you're PMSing the week before your menstrual cycle. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking here about hormones like insulin, like cortisol, like your hunger hormones. The way that you eat impacts your hormones. Every time you eat, you're getting some kind of hormonal response. All right. It's not just calories, it is information for your body. So if the way that you're eating is not balancing your hormones, and you eat this very healthy breakfast, like maybe you had a big smoothie bowl, or you had a big bowl of oats, and you know, it left you hungry 90 minutes or 2 hours later. Of course, when you walk into the office, you know, you eat your oatmeal at home, you go into the office, 90 minutes later, you're sitting down to your meeting, someone whips out the box of donuts. If that breakfast did not work for you and it did not balance your hormones for fat loss, and really, I mean, not even for fat loss, just balance your hormones in order for you to feel good and have good energy and not be hungry and not have cravings, your hand's going in that donut box, all right? So it doesn't matter how healthy you think your diet is, or how, you know, perfectly you think you're hitting your macros. If you are walking into situations where there is food and you have no ability to just say no, then that's probably, again, another sign the way that you're eating is not working for you and you need to change something. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. They think, well, I'm following my macros. This was episode 12, right? We talked about macro tracking and why it doesn't always work. This is something that I see a lot in women who are doing macro tracking programs. And I literally just read this the other day. Someone was having this conversation on my public Facebook page, saying how her trainer wrote out some macros, gave her a macro plan, and she loves French fries. So as long as she makes French fries fit her macro plan, she can have French fries. And I would say, no, you're not doing yourself any favors by shorting yourself on real whole nutrient dense foods to make room for French fries every couple days. All right. If you are trying to change your body, you probably can't be eating French fries all the time. Like one time a week for a treat meal, or on rare occasions, sure. But on a regular basis, probably not doing you any favors. Like, let's be real here. Even if it fits your macros, is that really the best decision to make? I don't think so. But in the world of macro tracking, it's fine. It fits my macros, okay? But this same person is probably also walking into meetings with boxes of donuts and going for it. and saying, well, that's only 220 calories. I can just look it up on my Fitness Pal, plug it in. Cool. So I'll just eat a really small dinner to make up for the fact that I ate like shit today, that I ate, you know, donuts at the morning meeting, and it'll all work out fine. And then they wonder a few weeks, months later, why, even though they've been hitting their macros, their body isn't changing and they don't feel good. Okay. Food is information. It is not just calories. And if you are not eating to balance your hormones, if you are just eating to hit numbers, or you are eating to fit a label like vegetarian or Whole 30 or paleo, you know, you're really just obsessed with checking those boxes and being on that team versus eating what works for you, then yeah, you're probably opening yourself up to these scenarios where you're going to be very hard pressed to say no and make the right choices when you walk into a situation with some very palatable, delicious, yummy foods like cake and donuts and pizza. Okay. So that's the first thing. If this keeps happening to you, you have a bigger underlying problem. I'm guessing you can't lock yourself in a bubble and just stay at home, right? Like, you have to go to work. You have kids. You have a spouse. You have a social life. You have to go to Target, right? Oh my gosh, you have to go to Target. So you can't just lock yourself up in your house and be in this controlled environment all the time. Like, you're going to have to leave the bubble, and you're going to have to figure out a way to be in the same room, to be in the same group of people, and find a way to do what you need to do to make the right choices that align with your goal. And if you don't learn how to do that, you're never going to get there. Like, that's just the hard truth. If every time you leave your house, oh no, what's going to happen? What if I go somewhere and they have free samples? Or what if I go to Starbucks and it's free whatever day and they give me a free frappuccino or a free pastry with my coffee? Well, I have to take it. No, you don't. Here's what you need more of: discipline. And I know that is, ooh, that's such an unpopular, unsexy word. We all want instant gratification. We want what we want when we want it. We want to Amazon Prime it and have it on our doorstep in 24 hours. And we don't like being told no. We don't like telling ourselves no. But here's the thing. I think discipline is one of the most freeing words and most freeing concepts to adopt, because once you get this, once you get disciplined, you can go anywhere. You can have meals with anyone. You can take your kids anywhere. You can go to an amusement park in the summer. You can go on vacation. You can do anything you want and live your life and not have to be constantly worried about, oh no, what kind of food is going to be there? And what if it's really delicious? And what if it's not on my plan? And what if I don't have enough willpower? That's a really sucky way to live your life, to always be like in fear that you're going to put yourself in this situation with food and you don't have enough willpower to say no, right? So discipline is choosing between what you want right now and what you want the most. And here's the thing. If this keeps happening to you, you keep falling off the wagon every time you walk into a room with food in it, you have to eat the food because it's there, then I'm going to take a big guess that you don't even know why you want what you want. You keep saying things like, oh, I really want to get results. I really want to lose weight. I really want to get back to, you know, fitting my jeans again. I really want to get rid of this spare tire around my midsection. Okay. Well, that's not a why. At least it's not a very powerful why. It's a very surface level why. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. If you have an aesthetic goal for your body, you want to look a certain way, I'm all about it. You get to choose what you want to look like, okay? That's totally cool, whatever you decide. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be leaner or lose weight or be able to see your abs or have muscle definition. I think it's awesome if that's your goal. Do you? It's totally cool. But that is often not a big enough, compelling enough why to override these situational eating moments. Okay. It's really easy if your goal is just to lose 5 pounds to say, well, it's just one donut. It's just two donuts. Like, I'll just go to the gym and do a little extra cardio and I'll just start over on Monday. That's really easy to say, isn't it? Yeah. But if you have a bigger why, if you are wanting to change the way that you eat, the way that you train, the way that you live, because, I don't know, let's try these on. You want to be a good example for your kids, or you have a spouse who is maybe getting some warning messages from his or her physician, and they're saying like, look, you need to make some changes. You got to lose some weight. You have a family history of diabetes or heart disease or whatever it is, and you're skating really close to that line, okay? So that's a pretty good why, right? Like someone that you love very, very much, who you share your life with, is unhealthy, and you want to start being a better example and being a better partner for them and helping them change their lives, because it's hard to do on your own, right? Yeah, it's much easier if your partner is on board and they're doing it with you and they're not trying to sabotage you. So that's a pretty powerful why. It could be, you know what? Everyone in my family is overweight and very unhealthy. And I'm not saying like you have to have a family of athletes who are like ripped. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about dangerously overweight. And it is a culture in your family of there is always food at every gathering, and it is just what you do as a family. Just everyone overeats, everyone drinks too much, and as a result of that, there is now this family-wide problem of obesity and the health problems that come along with that, okay? I think it's a pretty compelling why to want to be the one person in your family who breaks that chain and breaks that cycle so that you stop perpetuating this culture, this family tree that is just diseased, okay? And this is very close to my own why. I do not come from a family that is very fit or very athletic. Nobody else anywhere in my family does anything related to health and fitness. They don't work out. I remember every Christmas, you know, I had relatives who it would be like, oh, which diet is she on this Christmas? Is it Weight Watchers again? Is it this plan again? So I think that's a really big why. And that is maybe a good why if you need one. Like look around at your family. If you see people in your family struggling with serious health conditions, maybe that could be your why. And maybe that would be a little more powerful. Maybe that would get you up every day and get you doing what you need to do versus I really just want to fit in my skinny jeans. You see what I'm saying? You need a bigger why. You need a little bit, something that's a little bit more compelling, a little bigger than just a surface level goal. And if you find yourself continually saying, you know, I have this goal. I really want to lose weight. I'm not seeing results. Then is it actually a goal? Have you sat down with yourself or with a fitness professional and mapped out an actual plan to achieve that goal? Or is it just something you're talking about? Because, well, everyone talks about that. Everyone says they want to lose weight. So I do too. You know, everybody in my office is on a diet. So me too. But what do you actually want and how are you going to get there? I'm sure you've heard that cliche or you've seen that quote on Instagram, like a goal without a plan is just a wish. I think a lot of people just have wishes, and that's okay. Like if you really just don't want to do what it takes to change your lifestyle, that's okay. You don't have to. I can't make you. No one can. You have to want that for yourself. And if you're just not there yet, then that's fine. Maybe you'll get there later. You're just not there yet. So that's a thing too. Like under this umbrella of discipline, like what do you actually want? And is it big enough to keep you going every day, no matter what? No matter what the weather is, no matter what everyone else is eating, no matter what food is free, no matter if it's National Freaking Hot Dog Day or National Pizza Day. And honestly, after working in DC for 10 plus years in politics and being a lobbyist, I really think y'all need to know where most of that stuff comes from. Like there are huge interest groups and lobbies in Washington that lobby Congress to, you know, throw favors to their industry. So I don't know. I would not be surprised if like National Ice Cream Day is heavily supported by the National Dairy Farmers or, you know, National Tortilla Chip Day. That could be the corn farmers. There's an interest group for everything. So just think about when these images are coming across Instagram and it's National Something Day, like who's making money off that? And are you just being marketed to? And are you just kind of falling in the trap because someone's putting that message in your head? Do you actually want that? Or is it just kind of a peer pressure, everyone else is doing it kind of thing? So when you are disciplined, when you have a big enough why, it doesn't matter what national day it is or what's free at Starbucks or if they're giving away samples at Costco or free food in your office or a free catered lunch. If it doesn't align with your goals and it doesn't help you get to your why, then it's a really easy choice, right? And a goal without a plan is just a wish. So if you really say you want to change your lifestyle, what's the plan? How are you going to get there? How long is it going to take? What's it going to take? Have you thought about that? Have you sat down with someone and mapped that out? And are you making the small steps along the way that are going to actually get you to that goal? If not, then it's not a goal. It's just something you're thinking about. It's just something that you're interested in. And that's fine. But I think you get what I'm saying. So how do we stop situational eating? Well, I think you do the things I've talked about so far in this episode. Like you need to get your overall diet locked down, like something's not working there, and you're needing willpower constantly to stay on track. When you're eating the right way, you don't need willpower. And that might sound crazy and impossible to you if you've only ever dieted your whole life, but I'm telling you, this is the message that I get from women in week one and week two of Fat Loss Lifestyle School when we fix their food, when we fix what they're eating. They don't need willpower anymore. Your body's on your side. You aren't hungry. You stop having cravings for the wrong kinds of food. It's just what happens when you start eating the way you're supposed to, okay? You need to develop some discipline. You need to get your eye on the prize and find a compelling enough prize that you are unshakable. You are unmovable. And it does not matter what everybody else around you is doing. You are doing what you are doing because that is the choice you have made. And you're going to be disciplined enough to make a choice that supports what you want the most, not what you want right now. The last thing I think everybody needs if they're going to, handle these situations where there is food free, readily available, being eaten by everyone, is you need strategies for when the unexpected happens. And as a nutrition coach and a personal trainer, this is where I really focus with my clients. It's one thing to give people like, here are some, here's how you need to change your diet. Okay, that's cool. But if they don't have skills, if they don't have things that they can do, cards that they can play when they're at a family gathering, when it's the holidays, when they're in the office and there's a birthday cake on the conference room table, if they don't have a strategy that they can just, oh, boom, I know what I need to do right now. If they don't have that, it's not a good situation. They're really going to struggle. So that's something that I've done over the years as a coach, is created systems for my clients, simple little tools and tricks that we use to kind of manage these situations so that they're not managing us, so that we're in control. We are in our power. We're not walking into situations and being caught off guard and like, oh no, well, I didn't know this was going to happen today. Whew, there goes Tuesday. Yeah, it just went down the drain because I didn't realize there was going to be free donuts at the meeting today. No. We have a plan for that. We have strategies for that. So if you're listening to this episode and you are desperate to stop situational eating and having more willpower and trying harder just isn't working, then you need to do something different, okay? And this is something that we focus on, especially in the final week of my program, Fat Loss Lifestyle School. Week four is really about looking forward after the program. So how is the metabolism going to continue to change? What do you need to start practicing and lining up right now in terms of strategies and like little hacks and things that you can do when the holidays come? And I love it because my clients are equipped with these tools. I love January because I'm not getting panic messages from my clients saying like, oh, I really need to do your program again. I gained 15 pounds since Halloween. No, they're sending me messages saying, for the first time in my adult life, I didn't gain an ounce over the holidays. I enjoyed everything I wanted to. I had my grandma's Christmas cookies. I had an amazing Thanksgiving. I had a little bit of Halloween candy. And I still fit in my pants just fine. In fact, I need to buy new pants because I'm getting leaner. Yeah, it happens. When you have the tools, when you have the strategies, you have a big enough why, and your overall nutrition is dialed in, you do not eat just because of the situation that you're in. So this is a big one. This is a big one. This is a big topic. And it's something that a lot of people repeatedly struggle with week after week. So if this is you and you're listening to this and you're sick of it and you're ready to break the cycle and you want to start doing this work, reach out. Come find me on Instagram. I am in my stories, in my feed, teaching daily about this stuff. Sign up for Fat Loss Lifestyle School. Go to fatlosslifestyleschool.com. Check out when the next level one program starts and get your butt on the wait list or sign up if registration is open, okay? We can fix this. You do not have to live like this anymore, all right? This is fixable. That is what I want you to know. That's the big takeaway from this episode, that you don't have to struggle with situational eating anymore, unless for some reason you want to. All right. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope it was helpful. And hey, if you've been loving the Get to the Point podcast, do me a huge favor. Head over to iTunes, leave me a rating and a review, and tell your friends to start listening. This podcast is growing fast, and I would love to start bringing in some really high quality guests so you guys can get even more valuable content, and we can have some even cooler discussions here and bring on some new people and some new voices for you to learn from. So thank you again for listening, and I will see you here at the Get to the Point podcast for episode 14 real soon. Thank you.